Welcome back, everyone. This is The Changelog, where a member-supported blog, podcast, and weekly email cover what's fresh and what's new in open source. Check out the blog at thechangelog.com, our past shows at 5by5.tv/changelog. And you're listening to episode 122. Jared and I talked to Annika Lintor and Flor Dres about Rails Grills Summer of Code and Travis Foundation. Today's show is sponsored by Ninefold, CodeShip, and TopTal. We'll tell you a bit more about CodeShip and TopTal later in the show, but our friends at Ninefold, they're doing some awesome stuff. They're a high-performance platform for deploying and hosting Ruby on Rails applications. Their platform is built on their own infrastructure with servers in the U.S. and Asia-Pacific, and because they own their entire stack from hardware up, they provide you with quantifiably superior performance compared to the competition with more economical scaling. They make it extremely easy to deploy Rails applications straight from a Git repo by either using the online wizard or the infamous CLI command line interface. They also offer great support, zero downtime deployment, SSL, Redis, Memcache, load balancers, and firewalls for free, straight out of the box. Experience Ninefold superior performance and easy deployment with a 30-day free trial. Just visit ninefold.com/thechangelog to sign up. And now on to the show. We're joined today by Annika Lintor and Flor Dres. They are some awesome women in tech doing some cool stuff. Ruby, Rails Grills Summer Code, Travis Foundation, and a ton of other cool stuff. But I'll let them do their introductions for themselves. Annika, why don't you go first? Give the listeners an idea about who you are and kind of what you're doing these days.
Hi, I'm Annika, and I live in Berlin, and I studied something totally different. I studied linguistic and gender studies, and I started Rails Grills Berlin out of interest and because I fell in love with programming at a workshop. And from there, it was just a tiny step to where I'm now, and now I'm working at Travis CI, and I'm running the Travis Foundation, and with this, I'm organizing Rails Grills Summer of Code the second time now. Yes.
Travis CI is also, I don't know if you know this, Annika, but Travis CI is a partner of the Changelog, so for those who are members, you can go to thechangelog.com/benefits and redeem your awesome, long story short. So, Flor, how about yourself? I know you're a long-time listener, first-time caller, so to speak, for the Changelog. So who are you and what are you up to?
Yeah, I think we tweet about every week, right, whenever I'm listening to the podcast again. So for me, this is very exciting. Hi, my name is Flor. I live in Berlin right now, but at this very moment I'm in Vienna. I used to live here for 3 years. I started programming about 2 years ago, going through the Rails Grills guides by myself and with my coworkers. And that got me so excited that I wanted to get involved in the whole Rails Grills community. So I've organized about three of them back in the Netherlands. I am from the Netherlands. I'm organizing one in Austria next month and one in Azerbaijan, of all places, in October. And last year, a little bit late on, I got involved in Rails Grills Summer of Code. And that was such a great experience that I wanted to join as a part of the organizing team again this year. And it's been a blast so far.
You mentioned tweets and excitement, and I got to give a shout out to the tweet you did just before the show today, and we'll link to it in the show notes. If you go to the tweet and it's not moving, click the actual link where it says go to Imgur, because it's an animated GIF that was just rocking. So I love that GIF, by the way.
Cool. I'm glad you do.
Annika, from your perspective, though, you'd mentioned that you went to school for linguistics and gender studies, and I guess to some degree it's really shaping where you're at now with Rails Grills Summer of Code and what you're doing with Travis Foundation. And just in general, I know that there's a lot of conversation around diversity and inclusivity, and it's a big hot topic right now in tech, and to some it's very real in terms of their life. But can you give us an idea of maybe where, I guess, where the where the idea of Rails Grow Summer Code came from. I know it's a campaign. Can you kind of give us some of the backstory of what started this? There was a blog post, there was a dream. Give us the backstory.
Funnily enough, I wasn't there when it started, but I can tell the story pretty good by now, I guess. So this started with a meeting where organizers from Rails Growth Berlin and coaches met. And here in Berlin, we were one of the first group, actually, that after a beginner's workshop from Rails Girls, that we said, okay, we wanted to continue coding together and to continue learning together. So we organized follow-up workshops and we started these study groups. And we encouraged everyone to start their own study group, just grab a coach and meet up every week or every second week and keep on learning. And Sven Fuchs is one of the most active coaches and one of the most active community members here. And he started a study group, I think, 2 years ago. And this is one of the best study groups and most awesome study groups I've ever seen. It's called Ruby Monsters. And and they were just learning. And I think they were just missing a goal where to learn towards. Yeah, of course you can learn a lot about Ruby, I guess, or like build your own website and stuff. But so they met and wanted to see what can we build for women to get even deeper into code. And the idea of a Rails Girl Summer of Code was born. And this is a little bit different than Ruby and Google Summer of Code, as I understand it, because it focuses on learning by doing. So
That's the best way to learn, right?
Yes. It's actually awesome. And I haven't done any other Summer of Code or even this one as a participant, but as an organizer, the idea is so great to have you work on a project and then actually get you deeper into code while working on that project. And while you work on that project and you contribute to open source, you are in these 3 months, you are a full-time programmer and you can actually see if that's something you would want to get into. So we give women the opportunity to kind of see how this works and if they actually would want to work as a programmer and to give them a chance to contribute to open source full-time. So yeah, that was the idea behind Rails Growth Summer of Code. And then I guess it was such a great idea that they started to work on this right now, and Sven Fuchs, he gave a lightning talk at a beginner's workshop, and then the whole organizing team formed around him, and they just got started. And I think the whole idea was born in April or something, and then they started the crowdfunding campaign last year, and within 2 weeks, I guess, they had $80,000, and they could support 10 teams to come on board for Rails Grow Summer of Code. And this whole process wasn't longer than 2 to 3 months, I guess. So this was like a crazy idea, crazy dream. It was like, okay, let's just build it. And that's the amazing story. That's the kind of fairy tale-y kind of thing I like from that story. And I actually joined in June. When Travis CI took me on board, and I got on board as a community manager and to organize or help organize Rails Grow Summer of Code with them. So that was when I came.
You touched on one detail I think is kind of important for the listeners, and I think it's important for a couple of reasons. One is to show your perspective. You come to this and you're an organizer of all of this as a non-developer. But you said you know earlier in your intro that you fell in love with programming. Can you talk a little bit about what it is like organizing and operating in a world where you're not as fluent with some of the lingo or even the language itself? Can you speak as a non-developer in the position you're in?
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of smiling and nodding.
Yes, I understand what you mean. Gotcha.
So,
fake it till you make it, though, right?
Yes, I think that's true. And you figure out that all the people around you don't know so much that you would think. They know they have to Google themselves, and I'm always like,
that's my day to day right there, honestly.
Yes, so that's like, come on, Sven have this problem, or Konstantin or whatever, and it says this, and I expect them to apparently know and to just know by this minute how they can help me or how they can solve this, and they're like, yeah, I really don't know. So
they're like, the docs. Can you go to the docs, please?
Yes, something like that.
We all read the documents every day. Looking yeah, constantly.
Totally.
So yeah, but that's actually what struck me the most is like, okay, everybody's kind of, no, it's not fake it until you make it, but it's like investigate until you like
exactly
learn what it is, and that's actually what I really love about programming is that you see something that you don't understand, and then you work on it until you get it fixed, and then there's such a rush of excitement for me every time that I got something right. So
it's a constant journey, right?
It's a constant journey.
It never changes. That's what I love also about, I guess programming is one side of it, but just like building for the web, building software, period, whether it's design or development, UX, UI, all the pieces of building software, to me, is pretty wild because you never stop learning. And Jared, mm-hmm. you can probably even jump in here on this because you teach mm-hmm. Right now a Rails class at Interface there in Omaha, Nebraska. So that's kind of neat because you probably knew a lot when you went in, but you know a lot more now because you got to teach it, right?
Yeah, and actually one of the things that I tell the students kind of day one is that you know, one of the secrets of software development and building for the web is that there aren't any know-it-alls. Like there, even the experts aren't expert mm-hmm. because there's it's a constantly changing environment and there's tons of nuance, evolving best practices. So a lot of the intimidation is just thinking everybody else knows way more. And mm-hmm. of course, when you just get started, they do know way more. But you see somebody who's a so-called expert and who can build for the web, and they're looking at the docs and they're Googling answers and they can't remember the exact syntax of the API. And that's kind of an empowering thought, seeing somebody who is been in the business still having to do things that you're having to do as a beginner. We all kind of live there.
Yeah. Flora, what's your perspective on, I guess you'd mentioned that you're about 2 years into being a developer. Is that right?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
So what is your, have you gone through, were you one of the participants of the first Rails Girls Summer Code, or what is, what's your angle to this?
No, actually I wasn't a participant. I was helping out Annika mainly with some PR and communication stuff. I think one of the reasons that I could actually do that is when I started learning programming, I thought it was very important to listen to, you know, all kinds of podcasts like yours or like Ruby Rogues, for instance. Mm-hmm. And while listening to such podcasts, I would pause every time that I didn't understand what they were talking about or I didn't understand a term. And I would look it up and get familiar with this term. And I noticed that after a few months, you know, I have to pause a lot less than I used to do before because you just learn along the way. I've done some talks on learning programming and how you can teach programming in a better way. And this is definitely one of them. Have them listen to as much as they can get their hands on possibly and have them figure out, you know, it's partly talk to talk, but while talking the talk, you learn a lot.
Yeah. I feel like the sooner you can just kind of jump in and get your hands dirty, so to speak, and I think that's what the beauty might be for the Summer of Code is that, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it's pretty focused on obviously women, but open to everyone, not just women, but you know, as you said before, Annika, it's the lens is focused on women, but open to all, but mostly on those that are coming in fresh, coming in new, probably even coming with some inhibitions about, you know, can I do it? Is it possible? You know, all these other intimidations, I think, you know, the deep unknown kind of gives us. But would you say that Rails Girls Summer Code is mainly focused at beginners or intermediate? What level are you really, is the aim?
Well, as a beginner, it's probably a little bit too hard to actually contribute to an existing open source project or to actually kick off your own. So we recommend that you've been learning around like 6 months at least programming. So like For example, if you have joined a Rails Course Beginner workshop and then just like started your study group and met every week or whatever, and just kept on learning, because that's a little bit, that's like the important thing, that you never let go and that you are a little bit familiar with the structures of whatever language you want to program in. Let's say it's probably Ruby, so that you are familiar with the basic things and maybe already know how to use Git and stuff. So yeah, so that's probably the basic level we're looking at. Of course, we're happy to make exceptions if there are some other criteria that are met. And yeah, then it goes up for the level. I think we have this year some computer science students who have been studying computer science for some time but haven't been able to get into open source. Or actually means different things. Like studying computer science doesn't mean you're actually programming, because it looks so different from I don't know, country to country, or even from city to city to university, what you're actually learning in your university. And for one story I like very much is about that woman who said, yeah, okay, I study computer science, but only since Rails Girls, I really have fun at it, and I understand it, and I dare to ask questions, and we have a lot of levels that people can jump in Rails Girls Mode of Code, but yeah, probably a total beginner will have probably a hard time doing 3 months full-time coding.
So some I guess community involvement, either watching, doing, observing, something will definitely help. I want to mention this too, just for those who maybe come into this conversation maybe behind the curve a little bit. So you've got Rails Girls, which is a meetup, and I'm just going based on the details here on the page, but it's it's worldwide meetups in your local cities that are focused on helping women learn Ruby on Rails, educational meetups, events, all that. But on top of that, you have Rails Girls Summer Code, which is this summertime thing that essentially, I think last year it might have been a little different, but this year you've got 20 students coming in, totally focusing on open source, and essentially spending 3 months living and breathing Ruby on Rails in open source. Does that about sum up what Summer Code is all about?
I think it's not, if somebody wants to program in Java or PHP, that depends on the project. I'm not sure. I think this year we will probably have a lot of Ruby on Rails projects as well. But yeah, that's pretty much what Rails Custom of Code is about.
So from the name, I assumed it would be like people trying to contribute back to the Ruby on Rails framework. But it sounds like it's just any open source that you want to. Do you pitch it? Do you have to have a specific goal in mind? How do you actually do the whole 3 month process?
As a student?
Yeah, as a student.
Okay. Well, you have to apply, and we ask a lot of mentors or people who have open source projects.
Okay.
To collect these ideas and proposals in a repository. And so to give the students an idea of what they can contribute to. And a lot of students have own ideas of what they want to build. And of course, it depends on their skill level, if they're able to do this, and if they have the support of coaches and mentors to actually pull this off. But so one story would be, you look at the repository, then you find, oh, wow, Bundler sounds nice, I want to contribute to that. And then you get in touch with a mentor who proposed this, and he will help you, or she will help you.
Very good, Annika.
Figure out a project plan.
Floor keeping it straight.
Yeah, you learned something while talking about this. So, so you would actually then work out a project plan, what your goals would be in these 3 months. And since you have to apply 2 months before the program starts, or even 2.5 months for some project. That means that they actually changed a lot for some newer projects or something. So sometimes you can't predict anything, but to give just a structure on what your plans would be and what your goals. And it's really essential that you work together with a mentor who's actually running this project, because they know this. And can actually see what is needed, what would be a contribution to the community, what would be the best thing to work on.
So Rails Girls is a global movement, but it's all local workshops and meetups. Is Rails Girls Summer of Code completely online, or is there a locality to it? Do you fly off to a faraway location and code, or are you just involved online?
That'd be cool.
That would be really cool. I just had the image of Iceland in my
head. Yeah, there you go.
No, it's international, so anybody can apply, actually. A lot of organizers are Berlin located, so that was where the confusion last year came from, if it was a Berlin program or whatever. But we had students and teams from all over the world last year and this year. So we're just asking that you... that you find local support wherever you are as much as you can, because like being a newcomer to open source and working remotely with coaches or pairs might be a harsh situation. So we found it's best if you have a strong local support, like with companies, for example. Like we have this year, we have companies that said, yeah, sure, you can work here. And we actually have some coaches you can ping all the time. And
that's nice.
That's super cool. And that worked last year really well with SoundCloud. And this year we have, for example, Six Wonderkinder. I don't know how you say it in English.
The people that make Wonderlist.
Wonderlist,
exactly.
Yes. Thank you. For example, or Rebased in Poland, or some other amazing companies that help the students have a local structure.
Yeah. I think last year. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Floor.
I think last year and this year we had the same sort of confusion that there were some people from Australia that would love to join, but were confused by the name, because for them it's not summer.
Yes. Oh, and it's not only Australia, right? There's some other continent where they said, yeah, it's pretty cold right here.
I don't think Alaska ever gets summer. Just speaking for a U.S. state that's not actually in the continental U.S.
Right.
I don't think it's ever summer there. And when it is, it's still winter.
So there you go.
Let's pause the show for just a minute and give a shout out to our sponsors, CodeShip. CodeShip is a hosted continuous deployment service that just works. You can easily set up continuous integration for your app in just a few minutes and automatically deploy when all your tests pass. CodeShip has great support for lots of languages, test frameworks, as well as notification services, and they easily integrate with GitHub, Bitbucket, and can deploy to cloud services like Heroku, AWS, Nojitsu, Google App Engine, or even your own servers. You can get started today with their free plan. It takes just 3 minutes. Head to CodeShip.io. And one more thing to mention for our members, our awesome members, by the way, you can save between $284 and $2,994 on your first year with CodeShip. So make sure you take advantage of that. Head to thechangelog.com/benefits to learn more and redeem that benefit. If you're not a member, don't worry. It's just $20 a year, and you can support us to support open source, and we certainly appreciate that for sure. Once again, go to codeship.io. I am noticing, though, a short while back, I'm still kind of keeping up with some recent events, but just a few days ago, you mentioned on the Rails Girls Summer Code blog that you announced the first 7 teams. Mm-hmm. You mentioned projects like Diaspora, Padrino, and several other kind of neat Ruby Rails-based projects, several coaches that are prominent in open source and have kind of been there and kind of helped pave the way. Carrie Miller's a name I'm seeing just quickly in the list. Eric Michaels Ober, previous on the changelog. And a couple others, but I try to link over to the apply page just to kind of get an example of what you were asking about. And I think just to maybe separate some of the confusion, it sounds like it's a team So you kind of have to do some self-organizing prior to applying, and maybe a little bit of research on which project, and also making a note for listeners, if you're going to the link, applications are closed right now. So it seems like we're a little too close to the finish line to talk about applying this year, but next year, obviously, hopefully things come back. But what are the, I guess all that to say, well, you know, what are the details around making up your team, applying? What are some of the questions that were asked when applying that you kind of look at as criteria? Was it the project selected? Was it the people? You know, what was it that got you, you know, that made you a team and got you through the application process?
Oh, that is super different criteria. But I think the basic one is that you have to have a pair. So we figured that the two is the best number on this. So you can actually pair program and keep each other motivated. You have to have a pair and a coach that actually, or who can actually help you some hours a day in the beginning, and in the end that depends. Sure, you will get a lot more done by yourself, but that's pretty important that you have one or more coaches. I think one team had six or something. That actually depends on if you're at a company that said, yeah, sure, you can have our coaches 24/7. What was your question? The questions that
I'm thinking like the application process, and now just hearing some of those details you mentioned, now I'm thinking about, you know, it's 3 months long. You know, Jared's question asked about whether it was local or kind of worldwide, which it's worldwide and there's no real location for it. So, and even some of it will take place, you know, just, you know, primarily online for a lot of people getting involved. So now I'm thinking of like, what happens when I'm like lost? I'm in the woods. You know, what kind of support structures do you have in place? You know, maybe, what did you learn from last year that's changed for this year to make completion and making being part of a team easier and just not getting lost?
Do you want maybe me to answer that one? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. So, like, first of all, they all have a mentor for their project, right? And then there is one or more coaches that will help them out. They were already predefined. So last year we had a remote help desk in IRC where everyone could just log in and help people
that's
out
smart.
If they wanted to. Yeah, that's pretty neat. This year we'll go with Campfire to make it a little bit easier for the students, because we noticed last year that IRC has a quite steep learning curve, apparently, for people just starting out. And we'll be partnering up with a few companies that I cannot name yet, but we will really quickly, that will help us man the help desk for a longer period of time, because we, you know, there's the different time zones, and sometimes there were not enough people online to help students out when they had a problem. So we'll try and have three coaches in there at all times, so that, you know, people are actually, they can actually go there with all of their questions. I think that's very important, and we're determined to make this better this year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're lost, not in a programming kind of way or learning way, but have problems with your, I don't know, family or teammate, or get bullied from a coach or a member, any problem you might have, I'm really glad and really happy that we are having, this year we have a trust committee, and that's actually consists of members that are involved in the organization. I think it's Sven and me that you can turn to with all your problems, and we have, I think, four external people. Four, yes, that are not involved in the organization, so that they can stay impartial and then can mediate between the students or the coaches or whoever turns to them with their problems and the organization, so they can help you figure out any kind of problems you might have. And so that we can make sure everybody feels comfortable and not, I don't know, we want to have a safe space, and we'll work towards that. And I think with a trust committee, that's a big step to make, or to help people feel as comfortable as they might feel in such a program.
Yeah, I guess you're right, because I mean, you can get lost on a couple different levels. One, you can lose just motivation. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're in the fringes, either self-inflicted or, you know, you'd mentioned the trust part of it, where you might be getting bullied or, you know, harassed. Who knows what could potentially happen, but then you could also be on a learning curve, a little lost and needing some of the guidance, and obviously having a strong team with strong leaders is going to be, you know, helpful to that. So that's neat to have that in place, especially the real-time communication too, around like Campfire or IRC last year. Cause I was just thinking like, man, when you get in the middle of this, I know how I feel sometimes with projects. I tend to be an island, just self-induced anyways. And so when I get lost, the only person I really have to cling to is Jared and Andrew, obviously, but, you know, a little closer to the heart is my wife. So, you know, I've kind of got my own personal support structure that I kind of leverage and cling to. So I just wondered what, y'all are doing for this during that 3 months. But, another topic I think is important to talk about is, I guess the crowdfunding. Did y'all do crowdfunding last year too, or is this a new thing this year? And can you kind of speak to, you know, having not only corporate sponsors, but, I guess those who contribute and those who are part of the community giving their own personal dollars to support the cause and essentially, fundraise to pay for, I guess, what do you call that? What's the word for that? The scholarships. Yeah, yes. I was looking, the word gapped me for a second, but scholarships. So, I mean, you got 19 scholarships, $80,000 raised right now. What's the background here on this?
Yeah, so last year it was a crowdfunding campaign as well. So, this was always achieved by the community. And we have, of course, some strong leaders as companies who are giving a lot of money, like GitHub or Google Open Source or... Floor was very heavily involved with this year, so you probably can name some other wonderful companies. But also, of course, individual donors. And this year, we even have like an app where you can nudge your family and friends to give more money, which is pretty awesome. But yeah, maybe Floor, you can tell a bit about that.
Yeah, I think what's very exciting is the crowdfunding part about it. If I speak for myself, for instance, so I gave, of course, I gave some money, and I gave some money as well last year. And for me, my motivation is really that when I just entered the Ruby world, everyone was so nice and so welcoming, and everyone wanted to help me. And I found the Rails Girls guide so helpful and the events so helpful that I just really wanted to give back. And what we hear from a lot of people backing this project is that they similarly also want to give back to the community. I think that's what drives the crowdfunding campaign so well.
So go ahead.
Yeah, and the connection, like last year, since Sven Fuchs was so heavily involved, he, like all the people that loved Travis EI and the work that they did and the involvement they had in the community, actually... he nudged them all, I guess, like pulling all-nighters and got a lot of awesome feedback. And that's how it worked last year. And this year we have a lot of people that are, of course, saying, oh, yeah, I did it last year. I want to do it this year again because this is such a great cause. And this is where I'm always so in awe and think, wow, this is such a great community.
So I was going to ask, it looks like just tons of support looking just at the sponsorship page and how much money has been able to raise is really awesome. How much does it cost to send a team through or a student? What does each student get for the 3 months? And then I'm curious, follow-up question, curious if cost of living and those kind of things are factored into that at all.
That's a really good question. So we calculate $5,000 per student.
Okay.
And that's with some buffer for the courses the dollar might have or the euro or wherever you are that you're getting the money. So that's important. And we actually are asking the students to calculate the cost themselves, and we ask them what they can live off. We say, okay, we can pay you $1,500 a month.
Not a thousand.
You can live off.
Oh, no? Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Mathematician, she was right.
I got our calculators out.
Yeah,
I'm getting my calculator out right now.
Okay, no. And yeah, and so we say, okay, 1.5 is yours if you want it, but we didn't do any calculation for any kind of country or living costs, because I think that depends hugely on what your private or like your situation looks. Mm-hmm. If you're a single mom or if you're like heavily supported by a family, that can actually differ a lot. So we asked students themselves to tell us how much money they need, and then this is new this year, so we can actually, if they say, okay, here you can have 100 or 200 euros back, we can give that back to the Raise Gasimov Code crowdfunding campaign and maybe be able to fund another team spot, because we're now short of 2 team spots and we can use any money. So, yeah.
So you're trying to get together, is it 20? It's 20 students and that would be 10 teams?
Mm-hmm, yes.
And you're sitting on 8, right?
Yes.
You have 8 funded. You're looking for funding for 2 more.
Mm-hmm. So everybody donate.
Sponsorship, is it just donate, just go to the website, right? Is it any harder than that?
No.
Maybe you should repeat this.
It's just that easy. Give us money.
Sure.
What's the website again?
RaiseGasimovCode.org.
/campaign. Yes.
If you want to. Like, or you can go to RaiseGasimovCode.org and click on the donate now button.
So 80,000 total has been raised so far. As Jared kind of recapping what Jared said, you got 8 teams funded currently, you got 2 more teams waiting to get fully funded. That's, I'm guessing, you know, $10,000 more for going on the average of 5,000 per team. So, I mean, this is a success. Was it, so you mentioned last year was, you also crowdfunded last year as well. Did you have a similar outcome, or was it less or better? Was it, how does it fare, I guess, in comparison to last year?
Last year was faster.
I think last year was faster. Yeah. Yes, but
was it less or more money?
Yeah, it was just faster that the companies jumped on board. I think maybe this year the companies, I don't know, have some kind of, for some companies we came too late. They said, okay, they had to like calculate their budget already and stuff. I don't know how this worked last year. Maybe they were smaller and didn't do the calculation part, but I don't know, but we have some companies lining up, I guess, that we're still waiting to hear from, and
these are the infamous ones that Forehead just mentioned that you can't mention but can kind of mention.
No, I think she was thinking about the companies that are involved with
the help desk.
With helping us support.
Ah,
this.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I can like hint that they're already a sponsor. So.
Well, that doesn't,
you can check it out for
so
yourself. Come on, a teaser campaign, Annika.
Let's pause the show for just a minute and give a shout out to our sponsor, TopTal. You've probably heard me mention TopTal several times over the last couple months if you've been a long-time listener of the show, but we've been working with TopTal for quite a while now, and we thought it would make some sense to circle back and talk to some of the listeners who've applied to TopTal and have actually been accepted, because only 2-3% of the engineers who apply make it past their strict elite engineer process, and one of them is a awesome fan, an awesome listener, Daniel Lauzon. He is in Ottawa, Canada, a longtime fan, a longtime listener of the Changelog, and he's now living the dream as an elite engineer at TopTal. And I say living the dream because he's now able to have 100% control of the types of projects and the technologies he's working on, even as well as the rate he wants to charge. Daniel earns 100% of his income as a TopTal engineer, and he wanted me to pass on his seal of approval, so to speak, of the TopTal experience. And for those of you out there who are freelancing right now, or you would like to test out freelancing, or even try out a kind of a no-risk freelance-like project while you maintain your full-time position, you have to check out TopTal. If you think you have what it takes, head to toptal.com/developers to get started and tell them the Changelog sent you. Flor, you mentioned that you're a long-time listener, and Anika, I'm sure that you're becoming a long-time listener, but do either of you by any chance follow some of the content that Beverly Nelson has been putting up on the Changelog around learning? She's got a real passion. She does a lot of stuff with Rails Bridge. I think she just ran a course at Ancient City Ruby, really, really deep passion for teaching Ruby on Rails. And she's got such a heart for the beginner level. I just totally am impressed and in awe of her patience for it. But have either of you caught up with any of her recent posts? I think one of the most recent ones that was really a good post was regular expressions without fear. And she kind of gives this dissection of different resources, regex for fun, and, you know, some common kind of early problems to solve around it. But I guess that's kind of a long question to ask you. Have you caught up with any of the learning content on the channel? We've been trying to keep this more regular, like once a week. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, everything lands into my reader. So I read everything.
Did you tweet about it? That's the question.
That's a good question. I might have.
GIF?
It's actually a call to action for it. It's not a question.
I see.
Did you tweet about it? Reading and tweeting is two different things.
I feel such pressure.
There is a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure.
Well, you raised the bar with that animated GIF, so now you just have to keep producing GIFs of that quality all day, every day, and it should be okay.
Gosh. I've never seen that one either, and when I saw it, I was like, that's super awesome. I love that. I guess I'm not sure if there's any additional topics that we can kind of cover around summer code. If there's anything we left out, let us know. If not, I want to talk a bit about Travis Foundation and just in general, the mission around supporting and propping up open source. Obviously, that's been our focus here at the Changelog for several years now, so kind of close to our heart. But is there anything else we need to cover that we haven't covered on summer code that we need to?
I don't know. Did you say that everyone can donate now?
We haven't
mentioned it. Everyone can donate now.
Okay, if you're listening to this, go to railsgirlssummerofcode.org/campaign. I think you're suggesting a $75 donation, but I think it's you can donate whatever you want, like
you
$20,
can
$10,
totally
$5. Do more, do less.
Sorry, awesome.
Do the exact amount.
You can totally do more. We don't have any hard feelings about that.
No problem whatsoever.
And if you're a company listening to this, you know, if you're a developer working at a company that can be a sponsor, you know, take this to either yourself if you're a decision maker or your boss or your team leader or whomever, and you know, get some support. There's lots of great support here for Rails Girl Summer Code, and I know the Changelog we gave a little bit of money as well, because man, we love you guys. So
yay for the Changelog!
Yay!
So yes, if you didn't get that, go and donate right now, please. And now on to Travis Foundation. So I know I mentioned earlier that I've been working with Matthias for a while now. Travis CI is a partner with the Changelog. That means that they work with us to just make sure that our member base. So we have a member base that supports the Changelog as well. And so if you're not a member, you can become a member now by going to thechangelog.com/membership. And it's just $20 a year. And with that, you support us to support open source. In addition to that, we work with corporate partners like Travis CI to basically give a nice discount to our paid members for their services. And as part of that, I've been working with Matthias for a bit and have wanted to have y'all on the show to talk about Travis Foundation. And I didn't even know until inviting Anika to come on the show to talk about Rails Girls Summer Code that she runs Travis Foundation. So that's kind of neat. But it's an initiative run by Travis CI because they care about open source. But, you know, I think one of your current things you're doing now is Rails Girl Summer Code, but you've got other things in the pipe to work on. Mm-hmm. So kind of give us an overview of what Travis Foundation is and then maybe what some of the mission is.
Yeah, I think Travis Foundation is a way for the Travis CI team to give something back to the community because they have been born out of the open source community. They've run a crowdfunding campaign as well and were able to build Travis CI with this. So this is their way of actually saying thank you and contributing back. So I think the tagline speaks for itself. It's like making open source or even better. And that's like a broad thing or like a super huge goal to have. But basically, we want to support projects that we think are of value to the community. And for this, we started with open source grants, where we support people working on awesome open source projects with stipends or grants, as we call it. Like we did RVM and organized the grant for them, which was paid by Paymill. And now, like simultaneously to Summer of Code, we are doing CocoaPods. We're supporting them and the company behind this is SoundCloud, who are paying the grant for CocoaPods, and we are like the connector in this. So we actually we're looking at projects or people writing us emails and saying, "Hey, I have this and that project. I'm working on it, and I can't do it just in my free time anymore. I would love to do this full time, but I need some money for this." So we look at the project and then select the ones that we think are really cool and would be of great value to the community. And then we look for a company that actually fits with this project, and then we pair them up and organize the whole thing. So this is one thing we do, these open source grants. Then, of course, the Rails Girl Summer of Code. We organized it last year and our main organizer this year again. And that actually takes a lot of my time.
I bet.
So, yeah, everything else is... I can totally handle everything else. we want to foster diversity in open source as well. And for that, we are already working together with some conferences and planning on doing this more, like to, for example, get more women on stage or make the conference more family friendly, or how to reach out to a more diverse audience or something. Like questions that you mentioned earlier are kind of getting more and more important in the scene.
Yeah.
And we want to help people work towards that, and they can actually approach us and ask us, "Hey, I want to do this and that, and I don't know how to do this, or should we have a code of conduct, or what is a code of conduct, or something like this." And there are already some great resources out there. Like Ashley Dryden does a lot of things that I admire, and she put together some awesome stuff. And we have other women putting up tutorials, like how to give a talk and stuff, or how to not be anxious to enter
right.
a community where you're a minority. So that's kind of what we aim for. And we're still, of course, it's really, really young. I think we launched the foundation end of last year. We are open to other ideas or projects we should support or work together with. So,
well, I think the grants part is a unique thing, and obviously a specific approach with diversity in tech. I think it's an audacious goal anyways to foster diversity. But in addition to that, you got friends of the show, RVM, Michael Papis runs that project. Mm-hmm. Now Wayne Seguin was once on the show back in the day when he had, I guess, not really first started it, but earlier in the RVM history. So you'd mentioned open source grants. I guess the question I have around that is it seems like there's some sort of application process. I think you mentioned SoundCloud in there somewhere, and you mentioned a project that they are working on this open source. Can you talk about, you know, maybe, you know, Travis Foundation's, I guess the focus on obviously giving out grants, but, you know, when does it happen? Is it kind of organized? How do you go about it? Is it just like, get in touch and let us know your woes and we'll see if we can give you some money? How does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to say, here's the apply button.
Right, I want an apply
button. But no, there's actually no application process you have to go through or some criteria you have to meet. I think we discuss every project as it comes in or every project that we get aware of. And I think all this might be a really cool project for the open source grants. Of course, in the future, this will get a little bit more detailed, and there probably will be an application process. But for now, this is pretty much shoot us an email and let us know, and then probably I'll have a Skype call with you, since time is an issue. So I'm running the foundation, and Konstantin Hase is the CEO. And Sven Fuchs is heavily involved, but we are all like super tied in, so we can't have like 10 projects running,
right,
or 10 grants running. So I think for this year we will have, all in all, we will have 3. So we had RVM, CocoaPods is running right now, and we have one lined up that we will do the end of the year.
Yeah, that was the one I thought I heard you say. It was SoundCloud and CocoaPods.
Yes.
So it sounds like it's a small batch, and the application mm-hmm. process isn't quite rigid. It's more like, send us an email, tell us your story, and we'll see how we can support that. Because I got to imagine right now there's a lot of listeners. Like, we get way more email, way more pings on our GitHub repo that we set up for tracking issues, basically, which is, you know, if you're a listener, you can go to GitHub.com/thechangelog/ping and submit an issue and tell us about your project. There is a list. We do have a small bootstrapped, you know, small team, I guess, Jared, right? Like me, you, and a couple other people, basically me, you, Andrew, Alex. Those are pretty much the common around the changelog these days.
Yep.
But I got to imagine there's going to be a lot of people listening to this show thinking, Travis Foundation money to do my project. GitHub? Should I go to GitHub? Should I go to
Travis
Foundation?
Now I'm afraid to open my mail program after this.
Boy.
No, awesome. Shoot us an email. We're happy about every cool project.
Yeah, worst case scenario, I mean, you can always start, you know, maybe an email list or maybe a regular post in the changelog that talks about some of the cool projects that you all are funding. Because, you know, honestly, with the changelog, there's no real, I don't know, Jared, what do you think? I mean, there's no real direct pattern to our content. We just try to do whatever we can to promote open source,
yeah, right?
Whatever we can to promote its usefulness, its community. You know, my life is better in so many ways because of open source, not just because of the software itself, but because of the people and the way that my life has been touched, not only by this show, but the blog and, you know, relationships with those that come on the show, and every which way you can think of. I mean, the ripple effect is massive, but, you know, and
yeah,
it's
absolutely
awesome that Travis is doing this.
Yeah, seeing, I mean, we focus a lot on open source sustainability as we see, you know, many people get involved with open source, and then, you know, it's hard to keep that going as it becomes less fun and more burden over time, especially when success brings that upon you, surprisingly even. So seeing stuff like corporations doing these grants, I had not heard of Travis Foundation previously. It'd be awesome to have those kind of stories be told on the changelog. Absolutely. So we'd be happy to highlight it.
Yeah. Awesome. I guess back into that, Jared, is you mentioned corporations giving and Travis Foundation. So Travis Foundation is a 501c3. So it is a nonprofit, right?
Anika? I think we're working on it. Yeah.
Okay, so it's in the process, worst case scenario. Yes. But where does Travis Foundation get its money to fund these grants? Is it through Travis CI? I'm sure Travis CI has got to give a decent penny into this. But then what is the efforts on the backside of this to raise more funds to make these grants possible?
Yeah, that's why we are working together with, for example, Paymeal or SoundCloud. So they actually give the money to fund the grants.
Mm, okay.
And we organize this. Yes, and Travis CI obviously is giving a little money, and yeah, paying me to do this all, to organize this.
Well, I'll tell you right here, right now on the show, and the listeners, be ready for it. But we want to do more to help facilitate whatever we can around this, whether it's a post on the changelog. Obviously, this show here helps highlight it quite a bit as well. But we want to do whatever we can to either help you establish relationships with corporate partners or promote any new grants that are being funded. Like, I had no idea that RVM was getting funded through Travis Foundation, and that's awesome. Like, Michael does we actually, the last, not the last show, 121, but one episode 120, we had Postmodern on. We got to talk a little bit of shop around changing Ruby and Unix paradigms of, is it chruby, is it chroot, or is it change root? So all sorts of fun stuff around that. But, you know, we're fans of those softwares, and it's neat to see them get funded and continue to live on too. So
cool. Thank you.
No, I guess no real direct questions on that one, but we are getting close to our time. Jared, is there anything else around Travis that we can talk about before we tail off the call?
I don't think so. I'm just excited to see more grants like this go into open source. I think it's going to be awesome. So I'm excited that they're kind of heading it up, and it sounds like you know, other corporations can reach out to. How do other corporations get involved? Just hit the contact form on foundation.travisci.org, or what's the call to action there?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Just go to the website. Yes. And okay. Then there is a contact button. Great.
Then everything will work out magically.
Everything will work out magically. So, Floor,
it's the beginning of a wonderful story.
Let me ask you, you work at 89s, right?
Yes, I do.
Sorry. There's a little bit of latency, so I keep stepping over Jared and Annika. So I'm sorry about that, guys. But
no worries.
Floor, you work at 89s, and we've been talking quite a bit about Rails Growth Summer Code, and you're heavily involved there, but you're not involved in Travis Foundation. Is that right?
That's all right. Yeah.
Since we haven't heard you for a bit, what is your perspective on Travis Foundation? Like, what excites you, someone that's 2 years into programming, someone that's speaking and organizing and leading and teaching software development? What are your thoughts on, you know, what Travis Foundation is doing for open source?
Okay, so I guess first off, working for 89s actually enables me to work on Rails Growth Summer of Code 1 day a week. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then second, yeah, I actually worked with the Travis Foundation and Annika pretty closely organizing conferences. And they definitely helped me back up the cause of, you know, having more female speakers on board and reaching out to a more diverse audience. And I'm very excited about that. I learned a lot from Annika and from the Travis Foundation, how they handle this. So that's great.
So you're a supporter. Thumbs up, right?
Definitely.
Definitely. All right. Cool. Well, we have some common questions we ask at the tail end of the show. They're fun questions sometimes, but the first question I'll give to Annika, and you know, we generally ask it as a programming hero, but the person doesn't have to be a programmer. It could be just a hero. I don't say the word just lightly, but could be a hero, someone who's influenced you, someone who's encouraged you, someone who's helped lead you, whomever. So who is your hero or programming hero, Annika?
Yeah, that's a really, really tough question, because I want to name...
You can name
so
three.
So many people. Oh, I can name three.
Yeah,
oh,
awesome. Break the rules.
Okay, I'm going to break the rules, and I'm going to be super cheesy, but I'm going to say one of my heroes is Floor.
We've never had a hero on the show at the same time, by the way.
No, it's really encouraging to see what she's been pulling off, how she's organizing conferences and Rails Girls workshops and not goes crazy and still is super super supportive with everything. And we have been working together for not even a year yet and become friends even, and that's, I don't know, and I've seen what she works on and how she does it, and I'm amazed, and always when I'm standing in front of a question like, oh, okay, should I go to this conference? Should I dare? Should I go to this meetup? I always think, okay, yes, I should do it, because Floor is like doing this also. What would Floor do? And
we need bracelets.
That is awesome.
She inspired a lot of my putting myself out there. So, yes. And another woman like was Lena Hermann. That's a German developer. And I got to know her, I think, when she was a single mom. And she worked at a company that I knew. And she was actually a coach of the first Rails Girls workshop in Berlin that I actually was attending of. And because I knew that she was going to be there, I applied. I thought, okay, if she's there, I already know somebody, and this is not going to be so super awkward. And she actually supported me and said, yeah, you should really apply. And she was there when we then started Rails Girls Berlin, and is there now for Rails Girls Summer of Code and helping with a selection committee. And she has... she has more than one kid. I don't know how much, but she's pulling it off. And as a mom, I think that even gives you, I don't know how many super extra points for even like doing volunteer work. I think we all can't, we don't have a family yet, or at least that I can speak of myself. I don't have a family yet, so I can't imagine how hard it must be to do this next to your family work. I see how hard it is for me to keep this up and keep up volunteer work. And yeah, so she's definitely a hero that I look up to, and I want to be her in whenever I'm a mom.
Any more? You got just two? I'm just messing with you.
I got just two. These two are.
Okay, Floor, how about you? Programming or non-programming hero?
Okay, I get really awkward around my heroes. So I would say that my heroes are, and especially my programming heroes, are the people that helped me get started learning programming. Those are Sebastian, who's been on the show before with Justine, talking about Open Karma. He helped me a lot in the beginning. Tony, who was my former coworker, and Andreas, they helped me a lot getting started with programming. Furthermore, like a real big hero was definitely Avdi Grimm. I read all of his books, and they inspired me and taught me a lot. And then we were speaking at the same conference at our camp last year, and I just remember, you know, I saw him walking in, and I was so I must have acted like a fool because I get really weird when this kind of thing happened. Same sort of thing happened when I met Matt from WordPress or Automatic. I actually had met him a few times before, and we had talked before, so I could have just, you know, walked up to him and say something normal. Instead, I walked by and screamed something like, "Yay, WordPress!" And he screamed something back like, "Yay." It's very embarrassing, and this tends to happen a lot. So
it's funny what you do when you meet, like, you know, your hero, like, this yes. is your hero, and instead of being cool, you're embarrassed. Yes. Right? You embarrass yourself. That's, I hate that.
Yeah.
It's not cool.
This happens it's a especially lot. Funny so maybe with, it's better not to have, maybe it's better not to have say, heroes.
Yeah. I was gonna say, especially funny when with like internet based, you know, people you look up to, because they're not exactly used to being known, you know, in real life for things. Like if you ran up to Brad Pitt and you're like, "You're my hero," he hears that 100 times a day, right? But you know, like Avdi Grimm, like he's at a conference, and I'm sure from his perspective, it's probably a bit
it's probably equally awkward
for somebody to treat yeah. him as if, you know, they're at a Brad Pitt level. That has to be a fun experience.
Avdi is a Brad Pitt,
definitely.
We love Avdi too at the Changelog. Just because we're talking about him, he's also, I guess, not him directly, but Ruby Tapas is a partner with the Changelog. So,
yep.
We've got several, you know, developer tools and services as well as learning resources, and that's one of them. So if you're learning Ruby and you're learning Ruby with Avdi, we have a way through our membership you can save a little bit of money and still give Avdi the business. But I want to tell just a short story about myself. I think it's kind of funny because most people know me by my voice, and my wife gets to experience this a couple times, and only because we're talking about this kind of odd moments. But I'll share the other perspective. Is I'll be at a conference, which I don't go to too many conferences often. I'm just just not that involved in conferences for whatever reason, but people will hear my voice and they'll turn around and they'll say, is that Adam Stack? Because they know me as my Twitter handle, I guess. That's just kind of how people go about business. But it's always funny because I'm like, you hear my voice and you know who I am. That's always the funny part. But yeah. Let's see. What else? Other questions we have is I guess if Andrew were here, he'd be yelling at me right now because Call to Arms is first. But let's talk about Call to Arms. I know we've kind of talked quite a bit about Rails Girls Summer of Code, Travis Foundation. We're all excited about the fruits of this effort and where it's going to go. But, you know, today, you know, when people are listening to this show, you know, within the next week to 2 weeks, besides donating, which obviously is a huge call to arms, but say that again if that's it, you know, what is the call to arms for, you know, either Summer of Code or Travis Foundation? And you can individually answer or choose your floor.
Okay, should I go first? Okay, so we probably can't say that enough, that we want you to donate. So this is definitely a call to action. But also, if you can't or are not willing to give money or don't have so much money to give, we are always looking for supporters that can help us in the organization part, because that's all volunteer work, and or the coaches part. Like we said, we are going to have a remote help desk. So if you're a programmer and say, yeah, okay, I can hang around campfire some hours, do it, awesome, just shoot us an email, and just get involved in Rails Girls Summer of Code. It's a whole community project, and yeah, this is the call out to the community, I guess.
Also, Annika, what about you, correct Flo?
Do you feel the same?
Feel the same. Annika, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but mm-hmm. do we have, like, if someone wants to help out with a help desk, if they register via their TeamSep, can they, you know, say that they want to be in the help desk? Because I know that last year that was the case.
Sure, yeah, you can tick the box remote coach or help desk coach. Yes.
Awesome. So then people just have to go to teams.railsgirlssummerofcode.org and register as a help desker. That would be awesome.
Help desker. Never heard that one before.
Oh, and maybe if you're a conference organizer and you definitely want to have some great Rails Girls Summer of Code students in your audience and giving a lightning talk about Rails Girls Summer of Code, well, you're very welcome to give away some free tickets to them and maybe even help them with their travels and stay.
Yes. Absolutely.
Nice.
I know CodeFront.io is happening right now. We just gave away tomorrow. Some tickets. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was today.
That's why I'm in Vienna right now. So
there you go. So nice. You'll be there. We were giving away some tickets there. And yeah. So is there any lightning talks going on there for Rails Girls Summer Code?
Well, yeah? There is a lightning talk track, and there will be someone, probably me, talking about Rails Girls Summer of Code. So, yeah. I'm a member of the team, so
Vigo
I can definitely do this.
Conference. Yeah. It's a really good conference.
Definitely. I'm looking forward to this.
And I guess the last one is, if you weren't, running Travis Foundation and leading that, or if you weren't organizing Rails Girls Summer Code or participating, we'll let you go one at a time, but what would you be doing if you weren't writing Ruby or doing the organization of these awesome efforts? Annika, we'll let you go first.
Like, for money? What would I do for money?
Yeah, what would
anything.
You...
Anything.
Yeah, if you weren't doing that, what else would you be doing? Like, would you be... You study linguistics, mm-hmm. and looking back at your profile, how do you say that? Linguistics and gender studies. So I'd imagine probably something in that range, right? Or maybe not.
Maybe not, because when I finished studying gender studies, I said, oh, no way I'm going to work in this field, because it's just too harsh. No, I would probably be writing a lot and doing my own thing. I've been dreaming about starting a co-working space forever and have a little cafe there, so that's probably where I would be.
You and I should talk, because I've had a similar desire, but I'm not in a place where that would be possible, so I just keep it a dream.
You've had a dream as well? Oh, okay. Yeah, let's talk.
I actually wanted to make it that's kind of cliche, though, right? Coffee shop and co-working space, it's been done before, but I kind of wanted to put a little twist on it, and I got a feeling that Dan Benjamin is one day going to take this idea and run with it and do it better than I'll ever do it. But here's the idea is that
don't
I wanted
say it
to
out loud.
No. Yeah, don't share. Yeah, we can just, we should start a secret club and then we'll make some great co-working space.
But now I'm,
I shouldn't tell anybody.
I really want to know.
Tell us the twist after we stop the call.
Okay, fine. I'll tell the callers only. If you're listening to this and you absolutely have to know, just email me, adam@changelaw.com. So
that everybody's really frustrated.
Super he's going to say it, but he's not going to do it.
Man.
What about you, Flora? What, if you weren't writing Ruby, if you weren't attending all the conferences and coaching and organizing all that you do, what would you be doing if you weren't doing that?
So actually, I graduated as a graphics designer at art school in the Netherlands. And then I changed to doing a lot of sort of community management work. And then I changed to becoming a programmer. I think I have enough changes in my life so far. And I'm still getting used to this whole, you know, programming and doing a lot for the developer community, and which I enjoy a lot. I also really found my way in this whole tech world, writing technical documentation. I love doing this. I love writing issues. People think I'm crazy for this, but I really love doing all documentation stuff. So I think I actually found my place already.
Nice. So you're doing what you would be doing then. So if you weren't doing this, you would be trying to find a way to do what you're doing.
I'd be crying all the time.
Well, at least you're honest. That is cool. Yeah, you know, writing docs and issues are not my forte. I don't mind doing them when I have to, but I do have to commend you on having a passion for that, because that's unique.
Now you can always ping floor if you don't.
Yeah, totally.
Why don't I speak for the entire team here at the Changelaw when I say that it's been a pleasure to have you both on the show this week. The work you're doing is super important, and Rails Grow Summer Code, Travis Foundation, we want to be a part of that future, so we want to support you however we can this year, next year, and the years to come. So whatever we can ever do to support you in both of those missions, or even personally, just let us know. Reach out. You have a friend now. And I also want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. The sponsors of the show are Ninefold, CodeShip, and TopTal, and we love their support. They're absolutely great to us. CodeShip and TopTal happen to be partners as well as sponsors, and that means that they're supporting us on the long term. They're investing in the future of the Changelaw to make sure that we're always here doing the work we're doing to support open source, and we thank them for that. Ninefold we hope to have as a partner in the future as well. We'll hope that that to come. But they're awesome companies. We absolutely love their support, and couldn't do this without them. So we do have an awesome show lined up next week. Chad Whitaker, the founder of GitHub, is going to be on the show. Should be a fantastic conversation. If you're not using GitHub or whatnot to kind of crowdfund your work in open source or whatever you're doing, the people you inspire. GitHub.com is a cool thing. So next week, tune into that. Until then, let's say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.